Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. Headline this week, Chelsea draw a blank against Crystal Palace. Today I'm joined by my brother Craig and a good friend Brady. How are we doing, guys? The season has arrived.
Welcome to Overreaction Monday. It's time to panic. No, I'm good. I'm feeling relaxed. You know, pick up a point, week one, ease our way into the season. Yeah, not too bad.
It was the famous Athletic pod that had us 98% excited for the season. The optimistic meter.
Hopometer.
Might have gone down a touch yesterday. But it was all Craig's fault, because Craig was actually drinking the 0-0s. He doesn't usually do that. So it was going to be 0-0. So, but yeah, it was okay, not great. And that would be my assessment of it.
We'll get into it. No goals to report. 1.6 expected goals for Chelsea and 0.6 for Crystal Palace. 71% possession for Chelsea. 87% pass accuracy. Only two shots on target for Chelsea out of 19. Four saves out of four for Robert Sanchez. Although he did let one in through his hands, but luckily that didn't count. So, yeah, let's do likes and dislikes. I'll come to you first, Craig. What were your likes or dislikes? Start with whatever you like.
Well, I like the way the stats make the game sound, because the actual game wasn't as good as the momentum bar makes it look, or the 72% possession, or the 1.6 XG, or the 19 shots. You know, when you're actually watching the game, as a fan of the game, you know, it didn't really feel like we were going to score really until the last sort of 10 minutes of the game. It was a very, very, it was a stalemate. It would be a great way to describe it. Palace came with a really solid game plan. They're a really well-organized team. Obviously, they've come back off the back of beating Liverpool and Man City in their last two games. They set up well against big teams. They know the spaces that big teams like to attack. You know, I think my mind goes back to Tuchel, what he did to Pep in that Champions League final, the 3-4-3, where City really didn't create anything in the game as well. That 3-4-3 can stifle high possession teams that like to build up slowly. And yeah, that's what they did in the game. And you know, I think, yeah, that's my like is the stats making the game sound better than it did.
What have you got, Brady?
I mean, my like in this game is there was a lot of talk about the defensive issues in the build up. Tosin was out 24 hours before. Obviously, Levi Colwill, unfortunately, the ACL was going to be out. Well, I think at least till February. Josh Achapong had to come in and play. There was a lot of talk about, you know, we're going to be very weak. And that was probably one of the strongest parts of our game. I mean, he had one chance, Mateta, but I think we limited them to one XG, spread across a few like half chances. I think they had a couple of big chances, but I thought that defensively we were pretty solid. Nothing inspiring in terms of the progression. We'll talk about later, maybe we'll talk about the players in terms of the progressive passing. But actual man-to-man marking and dealing with Palace as an attacking force, I thought we were pretty good. And I think it was quite encouraging for the season. So I thought overall the defence was solid, and they have been for a while.
Yeah, that's actually was my like, was the clean sheet. I think it's important to keep that momentum going. I think we, like you say, we had a lot of change at the back. Achapong made one mistake, one pretty obvious mistake, which led to the free kick, which they scored from, which was then disallowed for a very old rule.
He actually made another really bad pass in the second half that led to a big chance. Or not a big chance, but, you know, an Eze shot.
Yeah, but I thought overall it was quite encouraging, actually. Because obviously we're going to have to turn out with these guys maybe again on Friday. Who knows when we'll see minutes from Fofana and how many minutes we'll see from him. Badiashile, the same. So, yeah, I think if you can deal with Mateta and keep him quiet enough for a game where you've got 71% possession, which should feel like a lot of our games at home this season in terms of possession. So, yeah, take some encouragement. I thought Sanchez made some decent stops as well. Yeah, I mean, that was the positive for me, was we didn't lose the game, because I think if we had gone 1-0 down, and obviously we kind of did, but after that, if we'd gone 1-0 down at any point in this game, I don't think anyone watching the game felt that we would score two goals. I think it would have almost certainly been a loss or a draw. So, yeah, it's kept us in good stead, I think, the clean sheet. And, you know, we've been good defensively for a while, so we've got to keep it going. Dislikes, Craig, what have you got for me?
Well, mine's a quite generic dislike. It's the way the transfer window is constructed, so that you can play these first couple of games in August without squads being complete. And I think, obviously, with new deals and negotiations, brinkmanship, all this is always going to come down to the final day of the window. You'll see a flurry of deals as the window gets there. And Chelsea's squad isn't complete right now. And it's frustrating that that is the case, that we have to play these games without, you know, the squad in the right way. We know we're looking to get in attacking players, specifically players, you know, one in specific player that can, you know, help us unlock teams that sit in low blocks, exactly how Palace did in this game. And I just hate that aspect of the Premier League where you know, you play these first few games before squads are actually set.
Interesting. Brayden?
Just to add that before I go to my dislike, I remember Tuchel, I think it's actually just before he got sacked, actually, after the West Ham game. I think it was when Kai Havertz scored and like we won 2-1. He literally sighed with relief that the transfer, I mean, not knowing he was about to get sacked, but sighed with relief that the transfer window was like shut. I think managers absolutely hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a nightmare, wouldn't it, this part of it?
I think Maresca hates it as well. He's just constantly asked about players, and they always say, I don't talk about players who play for another club, and they're obviously very needy managed in that sense, and they just roll their eyes. I mean, the only time Maresca seems to actually be engaged in press conferences at the moment is when he gets asked about tactics. If he gets asked about transfer speculation, he just eyes glazed over, really doesn't care. So yeah, it must be very frustrating for managers, really. Going on to my dislike, it's a little bit of like reality hit. You know, Chelsea have been a really good cup team traditionally, and a lot of our success at the back end of last season, I mean, obviously we got top four, which was not obviously league based, which was really good. But, you know, the kind of bells and whistles really has been, you know, the Conference League and then obviously the Club World Cup. And just getting back to the nitty gritty of the league, like Palace at home, you're a bit undercooked from pre-season because you haven't had a complete pre-season. You know, you've just playing against players that are a bit more not as glamorous. You know, usually we are over in America playing our South American teams, and it was all new and exciting. And back to the nitty gritty, back to the grind. And I think some of the players struggled with that a little bit, maybe. Just back to it and without much of a break in it. It felt a little bit like that. It felt like, okay, we're back to your bread and butter. And I think some of the players, I'm not sure they struggled, but it felt a little bit that there was a bit of a mental adjustment that needs to be made.
Yeah, my dislike for this game was similar vein, really, but it didn't feel like it was a Premier League game. It felt like it was another pre-season match. And I didn't get the sense from Maresca that he felt that he was desperate to win the match, which was confusing because it's so important to get points on the board. I know we got one, but to win this game would have been massive. You have to win your home games if you want to compete at the top of the table. This was a game that arguably should have been bread and butter for us. It's a team that's just basically sat at the back, so ideal, really. If you look into,
I'll be disrespectful towards Crystal Palace there, but
no, I don't think so. They were set up to defend for the entirety of the game and counter-attackers. That's basically what we want. You know, when you talk about control, Maresca talks a lot about control. This is a game that basically was set up to exactly how he wanted the team to be like. And I didn't get the sense that he really wanted to win. A lot of like-for-like subs at the end. It wasn't, okay, we'll get Pedro and Delap up front. We'll really push him last 10, get balls in the box, make it uncomfortable. He whipped off a lot of players who we probably could have done with. I know it's early on in the season, but this is what we're looking for. We need points. And
who are you referring to there that we could have done with that he took off?
Well, Pedro, I think, is the key one. And I think Gittens as well. You know, this is someone we bought to help us in these situations. I'm surprised he didn't change the formation at all during the game. It was very surprising, A, because we'd look like we weren't doing anything through the middle. And secondly, in the second half, could have done with more, you know, you finally just put one DM in and you play two eights or a 10 and an eight. He went for like subs, you know, Enzo came off and Santos came on. For me, they're the same sort of player. He didn't really push to bring on maybe, you know, George, who's been pretty reliable for us actually off the bench. Keep Pedro on and maybe put Delap on and have two of them up top. Really caused some problems for Palace. So I was a bit surprised. It felt like a bit of a pre-season sort of vibe, you know, one goes off, one goes on, and at the end we'll all shake hands. But yeah, I think I would have liked to see a little bit more, like he was desperate to win the match, and I didn't really get that from the subs or sort of the intensity of our game. So that was my dislike.
Interesting.
I think Maresca, cool. With the subs, I think he still wants to keep the structure. When that can be, that sometimes could be a little bit of a weakness. He doesn't like to lose games. He's always, I mean, that's obvious, but like he always goes, you know, just focus on not losing the game. And sometimes when you do that, you don't win it, I guess. So it depends how you look at it, I suppose.
I think it is also a bit old fashioned to be like stick two up top. You know, I think when you're looking at the game as a coach, you know, it is hard to want to change things when we're relatively dominant in the game and obviously create a lot of chances in the last 10 minutes, even with the same structure.
Here's an example where maybe I agree with Chris. Like he puts Estevao one on the right, which is fine, but then he just puts Pedro Neto on the left, and we all know Neto is poor off the left. He's worse than he is on the left. You bring Estevao on, which is good, but then you just kind of, you hurt Neto by putting
him in. I thought Neto actually looked pretty good on the left in this game, but yeah.
I think we can all agree he's better on the right, right? I mean, we can universally agree there. So Neto just suffers to go to the left.
I thought Gittins was having a really poor game for as well.
No, I agree, but maybe you can change something. Maybe you can put, I don't know, Palmer right, Estevao in the 10, or just do something a bit different. Like, it just wasn't working. In terms of subs, I mean, we'll talk about him later. We need to start subbing Cole Palmer when he's having a bad game, because... And that's where Simmons can come in and other players, because he was done in this game after an hour. He just wasn't involved whatsoever. And that was a lot to do with the system, I think, other than him. But there's some games that just do seem to pass him by. When they pass him by after an hour, he doesn't really get into them. So that is something we need to think about, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if you look fit, to be honest with you. That's quite unfair, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, this is all these guys' first 90 minutes, right? They haven't played 90 minutes.
I think, to be honest, like there was a... It's clear to me that, you know, the lack of pre-season hit them a bit. I think there was kind of the idea that they'd kind of have momentum and we wouldn't get hit in terms of, like, actual physicality until, like, Christmas or whatever. I think they just came up against a team who was actually, like, really fit, Premier League ready, like, chiselled, and they were like, whoa,
what's this? Full pre-season for Palace, and they've already played a competitive game 90 minutes. So they're well in for some of things.
Yeah, what you're hoping for is this game kind of get some actual minutes in their legs, competitive minutes in their legs. They get over that hump, physical hump, and in training this week, they can really knuckle down. And then West Ham is kind of the de facto first game. And maybe, not that this one was one we couldn't win, but it did look like they weren't ready, but it was just, it really just physically just didn't look quite at it to me.
Yeah, West Ham is not going to be another picnic, so... Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Right, let's do temperatures. Let's talk about the players.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Craig's first. He's back. Season started, he's first. It's just lovely. The cookie crumbles.
I should be first game of the season. Come on.
Right. Give us a freezer, someone who maybe was at their worst.
Yeah. Well, there's two, but I'm going to go with Enzo. I think we do rely on Enzo a lot in midfield to be creative, progression, get on the ball a lot. He had a really disappointing game. And he looked well off the pace of the game, but also miscontrolling the ball a lot, mishitting passes. He gave the ball away so many times in this game. you know, miles off it, Enzo, in this game. Really disappointing, because, you know, been one of our most consistent performers to end the season last 6 months, really. He's been there. He's been a match winner for these 1-0 home wins that we've got, games like Spurs, you know, where he's popped up in the box with a winner. But yeah, I mean, 80 minutes of really the worst of Enzo Fernandez, to be honest, in this game. And like I was listening to Straight Out of Cobham podcast earlier, they said probably Enzo's worst game for you know, a long, long time.
Yeah, he wasn't good. He just kind of got lost, really, and then he sort of, any time the ball came to him, it just sort of bounced off him. The problem with him is when he's bad, he looks horrific because he's so slow as well.
Yeah.
And like, he's offering very little then, because he can't get forward in the box for a quick, you know, nip into the box, and then he definitely can't get back. So he's not really doing anything. There was that great move, I thought, probably the best move in the entire game for us, from back to front, and it ended with Enzo on the right-hand side to cross the ball, and he like lasered it off for a throw-in on the other side. It kind of just sort of summed up his day. Not good.
I mean, I'm not at anything statistically, but I think with Fernandez is, when the game isn't his type of game, he struggles. The game conditions have to be right for him to flourish, and that is worrying. He doesn't seem to be able to adapt in game and be a thinker in there, whereas Caicedo doesn't have to do that because he's more of a destroyer. He's just everywhere physically. Enzo sometimes can just be in the periphery even though he's in the middle of the pitch, which is quite a hard thing to do. Last season he had a game like this, a few games like this, and then maybe afterwards he really picked it up, so hopefully he does again. But you know, I was really frustrated last week that Lavia wasn't fit. I mean, just, you need Lavia to just kind of be pushing him and be, you know, just be getting minutes, because Enzo, he can be inconsistent sometimes. And he was really good the back end of last season, but this performance was worrying.
Cool. All right. Freezer for me. Got to give it to the new boy, Jamie Gittins. I didn't see anything from him in this game, which was concerning, because I thought he got in some pretty decent positions actually with the ball, and then he kind of just did a lot of nothing. He was very, very forgettable performance from Gittins. He's obviously a good player for us because he's got a lot of the kind of technical attributes pretty nailed down. Like, he's obviously got a good bit of speed about him, he's got quick feet, he can control the ball.
You can see why he was recruited, for sure, to play that
position. But you also need personality. And for me, he's got a bit of nothing about him, personality-wise. He needs to show a little bit. You know, he needs to take the game. You always say, take the game by the scruff of the neck. And that means taking responsibility and making something happen. It just looked like he was kind of out there to help everyone out. I don't know, he's got to do something a little bit more than that, and clearly he could, but I'd like to see it. You know, the guy was on for what, 54 minutes, and he had two shots that were kind of blocked, but yeah, I'm expecting a little bit more from him. You know, he comes at a pretty decent price, so, and obviously he's come from being a backup ultimately at Dortmund for Adeyemi, who we know is a pretty decent player from the Champions League. So he scored against us in the away game. And he's very quick. So, you know, I think that he needs to be showing a little bit more. Maybe that will come with time, but I'd like to see a little bit more personality. And maybe, you know, Garnacho, who does have a lot of personality, maybe too much potentially, he might nip in past him, because he looks like, Garnacho looks like someone who will take responsibility. So
wow. It's only taken one game and Chris is calling for Garnacho.
Well, I'm saying that Garnacho could displace Gittins, because if Gittins isn't able to sort of turn up and show us what he can do, and he's happy to be a passenger, Garnacho doesn't. He's not that character, so he'll be nipping his heels, Garnacho. So he needs to watch himself, Gittins. See how he gets on against West Ham.
Well, I don't think he'll be starting West Ham. I think that's my take. I don't think Jamie Gittins will start. I don't think he deserves to start.
You think they'll do Estevao Neto?
I don't know what they'll do. They might put Pedro left wing and left 10 and start to that. But I don't know what
they'll if we start playing Neto on the left and Estevao on the right and Palmer through the middle, I think Gittins is going to wonder what's going on. Yeah.
The thing with Gittins is, I think he will need his minutes chopped up. There was a lot of reports last year he struggled physically in Champions League 3 games a week for Dortmund. That's where he tailed off. He started the season strong and then tailed off. A lot of the YouTube clips will probably be sent to the Chelsea sporting directors to spike the price up by the Dortmund director of football, probably from the 2024, as in before Christmas. I'm not almost that worried. I mean, it's obviously the first game, but he's shown in pre-season what he's got. He can be aggressive. The one thing I'll say for him in this game, CFC Central said that the Chelsea wingers would struggle because of the way Palace double and triple up on the wingers. In this game, he was doubled and tripled up a lot on. He didn't really have, and very rarely got one-on-one with a fullback. That's tactically because of Palace, because they are just really good at, you know, the Glasner. I mean, we've played Glasner Palace 3 times and we haven't won, and it's been 1-1, 1-1, and now 0-0, so haven't beaten them yet. So, yeah, I mean, I think tactically it was not a great matchup for him, but also I think physically he looks a bit off it. And just, you know, it's his first league in the season in Premier League, right? I mean, it's a big move for him. But yeah, I mean, and this is a controversial thing. It's like, I said he probably wouldn't be a massive upgrade in Madueke straight away, and proving to be right, really. I mean, he's going to need time, and he might need quite a lot of time. I think definitely if Garnacho is going to come in, if we can get some players out the door, I think you definitely got to chop their minutes up and rotate them and keep them hungry, because you can't see Gittins playing 10 games in a row and being consistent. You can already say that, to be honest, at the moment. He needs time and he needs maturing.
Who have you got, Brady?
He was also my freezer, to be honest. I thought he was really poor. And
can we give a mention to João Pedro?
Well, I think with João Pedro, like, he barely got the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I don't
think. I think in terms of the height,
we didn't progress it to him whatsoever. I didn't see any time he had the opportunity to even do anything.
He kind of did a little bit in the first half. He kind of made something out of nothing a few times where people just sort of launching the ball.
You're putting Palmer in. I mean, they're both anomalous. I mean, Palmer, like, he was poor again. And
yeah,
I think special mention, you've got to say Palmer. I mean, and probably João Pedro. I mean, Cole hasn't scored an open play goal in the Premier League since January the 14th. I mean, he needs a Premier League goal ASAP, non-penalty, ASAP. You can tell it's affected him. But there was a couple of times where he's through on goal and there was one particular shot where he went to bend it round like he did in the Club World Cup in the PSG final. But then he just kind of just hit it into the defender, then fought again and hesitated. He just needs a goal where it's like a tap-in or... And that bit where he like collapsed, where Andre Santos skied it, it's because he wants to get laid off and he wants a big chance to put it away, because he probably knows he needs like a big chance to score at the moment because he's so off it with goals. Now, look, it's a bit of a freak that he hasn't scored for a while and he should have had way more assists. His expected assists and chances created is still through the roof. And like, it is a freak that he hasn't scored in so long. But you can tell he's playing on his mind. He needs a goal ASAP. And we've got some really good fixes coming up, and hopefully he can get some goal contributions because he needs them. Because, yeah, for me, I agree, Craig, that Pedro wasn't good, but if you're putting him in, you're putting Palmer in. Out of the two, they were anonymous for me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I thought Palmer was way better than you both are saying. I thought he was he's contributing a lot to the team and how they play, especially in the last 10 minutes. Where a lot of the good stuff came through him. He was really starting to really push it and trying to create things out of nothing for us, get on the ball, which is what I want to see from him as well. So I think a little bit harsh, but obviously high expectancy with Palmer, you know.
Because but Pedro wasn't on the pitch then, was he? So, I mean,
no, he wasn't, but he didn't get the ball.
Chelsea improved when Delap came on. But yeah, I don't think that's down to Delap. That's just Delap getting himself about and ruffling feathers a bit and...
I would say that Delap, I think if Maresca could restart the game, he would start with Delap. Basically,
yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's on the manager, though, isn't it? I mean, that's maybe he should have played Pedro left 10 and done something different. I mean, I think that's probably what he'll do against West Ham, maybe, but we'll have to wait and see. I would definitely wouldn't start Gittins anyway. I think that's a given for me. I'd be very surprised if he starts.
I think we all kind of knew what it was going to be like with the front four. But I think with Garnacho and Simmons coming in a couple of weeks, I don't think anyone really knows yet what it's going to be like for the best team. Exactly. And I think Simmons is another one. I mean, he's coming from another league. We have no idea what he's going to be like. You know what you're going to get with Garnacho. He'll be busy. You haven't got the best shot on him, but he'll take a lot of shots. Neto, you know what you're getting. Palmer, fine, he's been a bit off it. And João Pedro, we've not really seen him as a nine consistently for Brighton. So it is a bit of a unknown in that sense. So, and Delap, fine. He's been playing for Ipswich, which is a completely different setup for him. So it is a bit of a mixed bag, and they've completely torn up the script with the attack from last season. And we've got no preseason to try anything. So it's going to be, I think it will take a while to get going personally. I think yesterday was a bit of a wake up call that this is not as easy as it felt like it was going to be. People wanted Estevao to come on immediately, basically. You know, it's going to be interesting. And there's going to be another one next year with Quando.
Yeah.
So I think just be careful here, yeah, with this. It doesn't get too chaotic and it isn't clear. So we'll see how it plays out. Warming up.
Yeah, I mean, not many options here, but I think we'll go with Josh Achimpong, who obviously handled himself really, really well defensively against Mateta. I think you talked about it a little bit already, but, you know, I don't think it was fair. It's not fair to him. It's a big ask for him at 19, really, to come in and start a Premier League game for Chelsea at centre-back, especially against a player like Mateta, who he's got to be up there as one of the toughest players to strikers to play against, just with the style of play, the physicality. There was a few moments where he was, you know, they didn't change tactically and probably didn't have time to change tactically from when Tosin got injured to when the game started. So Achimpong was left one-on-one with him on a number of occasions, and yeah, just handled himself really well. That'll give him loads of confidence as well going forward, and, you know, hopefully we sign a centre-back and he's not asked to play many more games as a starter in the Premier League. But, you know, for this game, I thought he did well and gave a good account of himself, and he should be really proud.
Yeah, I thought last season, obviously, we had City at home where we lost 2-0. So I think, thank goodness, that didn't happen again.
Didn't score a goal at home.
Yeah, same again. But yeah, I'm glad that didn't happen again, because I think Haaland might have really knocked his confidence, potentially. He was good at Achimpong. He was quite precise. I thought he handled himself fairly well. He there's a thing about his passing which is a little bit interesting, but he looks quite obvious where he's passing the ball, and it's the way that his body shape sort of opens up quite a lot, and Eze clearly picked up on it, because when he's playing the ball to his right, it seems so obvious that it's going to happen. And it's almost like a delay, because he brings his arm back and he opens his body up. So I think it's a bit of a weird criticism of him, but he does need to work on that a little bit, disguise some of his passing. But I thought he defended really well against Mateta. I feel like he's a young kid. He's used playing right back, so this was a tough ask. But yeah, I was impressed with him. I thought he did some really good. There was that great moment where he put that kind of blocked cross tackle, and then he went in against Mateta and cleared the ball out. That was excellent. Got the crowd going. He's very well liked, Josh, as well. So I think he'll always have the support of the crowd, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, his stats were really good. I know Craig was saying it looks like he doesn't think he should be around the first team. I wouldn't mind him starting against West Ham. I mean, it's probably going to be Tosin coming in, because Maresca clearly thinks only Cole will and Tosin can play. Basically, Chelsea play a back three, really, when one inverts, and Cole will's the centre, kind of like the quarterback or the sweeper, who can play through the lines, and he thinks Tosin can do that as well. He doesn't. I don't know if he trusts Fofana of it, but he doesn't trust Chalobah of it, and he doesn't really trust Cucurella to play that. Obviously, Cucurella plays off the left, and you've got to assume he won't. The way he's talking, he doesn't trust Hato of it either, obviously, because he's unhappy, Maresca, about the centre backs he has now. But I thought Ashimpong, I think he played really well in terms of, rather than like pass through the lines, he kind of dribbled through the lines a couple of times. He just kind of shimmied and went through. A lot of aerial duels won, which I was worried about with him. A lot of ground duels won. I mean, that moment you talked about, Chris, I think that was my favourite moment of the match, where he like crunched Munoz. Made a mistake, yeah. But then got back and crunched him. And then got up, and then he got Mateta booked. And Mateta probably should have been sent off later on in the game. Moments like that are really important. So, like, you know, if another day Mateta gets sent off, they go to, I don't know when it was, like, maybe 10 minutes left or something. I'm not sure how long was left. If he does that and Mateta gets sent off another day and we win the game, then it's really positive. So I think he's in and around it. I think he's a good player. You don't really want him in that middle of the three, but you could definitely see him playing right centre back quite a lot and right back, and I think he's going to get quite a lot of minutes this year, and he's definitely not a player we want to lose. I mean, Bournemouth are desperate to buy him this summer, and there's a lot of hype around him, and I think he's a very good prospect, and yeah, I think we've got a good one there personally, just on first impressions. Second youngest player, Chelsea player to start on the opening day as well. So, yeah.
I'll tell you what, after that Gusto shot, I don't want to see that guy again.
I was actually watching it in my parents' house, and I do try and watch the language, but I put a few. I went to the swear jar after that. I mean, every time Gusto shoots from 40 yards, it's unbelievable.
I think it's the timing of it. Wasn't it like it was basically like the last attack of the game almost?
I mean, it's not even a P-roller, it's a frozen P-roller. I mean, it's so bad.
I'd be annoyed if like Lampard shot from there and at that point of the game, like let alone Gusto. It's absolutely ridiculous.
He's so thirsty for his first goal for Chelsea, I get it. But just don't do it then.
It's probably the worst shot I've seen at the bridge since that Sterling free kick. Like, that's about as bad as that. I mean, horrific. Really, really bad. Warming up for me, I think sort of Sanchez should get a little bit of a mention. Although he did make a horrible mistake for the goal that went in, which, you know, was bad, I thought he actually did pretty well after that and generally in the game. Obviously, he's got a lot of deficiencies in his game, Sanchez, that are pretty well known, mainly his concentration. But yeah, I thought he actually played quite well for the rest of the game, and he came out and got some crosses, which is important. It's not easy. He seems to struggle a lot when kind of there's not much for him to do. He just sort of starts doing weird stuff.
I kind of agree, but his distribution of his game was terrible. I mean, he did a lot of Petrovic booting it out of the pitch. I don't know whether that's pressure or we just weren't. There was none of that finesse what you saw him. You saw in New Jersey against PSG where he's finding players. He was just hoofing it. So, you know, 2 out of 12 accurate long balls. And he had the lap on the pitch for a little while as well.
There was there was a few that he tried to get off quickly. One, I think, was really bad. But there's another one where I think Neto got through down the left in the first half because I think Hughes was covering. I mean, that was a really good chance because I think Pedro was completely free in the middle if he got the cross through. So, yeah, he's not going to get everything off perfectly. I don't think any goalkeeper ever does, but...
Free kick. I was watching it and I was like, Sanchez didn't set it because he was basically telling the wall what to do when the whistle went. Like he wasn't even set to save it. He was like, there's a gap, there's a gap, there's a gap. And then he shot through the gap. Well, no, obviously we had the law 13 or whatever where Gahee was near the wall. But he knew there was going to be an issue and he should have saved it, but he was mentally not ready to save it. He was just like barking orders all the time, even basically when a shot was getting shot. So I knew that I was going to be trouble if they got on target of power. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's slim pickings warming up, to be honest.
My warming up was Josh, but I mean, we also forget Moises Caicedo. I thought Caicedo was solid. He was everywhere again.
He's always so good. He's just ridiculous.
Well, he would have been my boiling hot was going to be Moises Caicedo because I think he's still so good.
It doesn't matter if we win, lose, or draw. He's just pretty much always good. He's just incredible. And he's like, he's vice captain now, is he? Or was Enzo off the pitch? Was Enzo Fernandez off the pitch then when he got made vice captain? He got the captain's armband, but really like him in the captain's armband because he's a bit of responsibility. He's got, you know, he's getting a bit old now. He's 23. He's not a young pup anymore. He's maturing as, like, I'm sure his English is a lot better than he was.
Yeah, old, he's 23.
Yeah, but like, he's not like a 20. He's not super raw now, is he?
He's, no, he's old for our squad. Yeah,
he's been in and around here, Chelsea. I'm sure his English has improved a bit. Like, he's like,
we actually have a younger average age this year than we did last year.
Mad.
It's actually crazy.
Yeah.
Boiling hot.
No, it's none for me.
Well, I had Moy Caicedo for me. Just picked up where he left off. Thought he was.
I've got Captain Fantastic, Reece James, starting a new season fit. He finished the last 6 months fit and started the new season fit. No injuries for him. He created the most chances in the match with 3. I think it's actually a really big weapon against low block teams is when he plays that right centre-back role. He's actually got incredible passing and incredible long passing as well. He can spot a pass over the top. I really like him in that spot. I know there was originally some negativity towards him in terms of that that position and, you know, be wasted in that spot. But on the ball, especially against low block teams, he gets a lot of the ball and, yeah, he is quite creative. And just want to be positive in general about him, you know, staying fit and being in the team, being the captain. I think he's embraced that role really well. And I'm excited for hopefully the redemption season from Reece James.
Tell you a funny stat from this game. Top speed, Mark Cucurella, 31.6. The new one in football. Top speed, 31.6 kilometres for Mark Cucurella. Reece James, 32.5. Rapid.
Yeah.
There you go. Griff is lightning.
No, when Reece James is fit, we're a better team. He seems to kind of got over. I mean, look, you're never that far away from injury. No one's like, you know, averse to getting injured at any point, any player. But he does seem to be mentally over the hump. There was that time in the Man United game last season where he won 1-0 when he got crunched. And he was down for like 3 minutes. I was like, he's going to be out for another 6 months. He just got up. Like, he looked bad, but he just gingerly got up. And he had a couple issues. The manager's minutes have been a couple of cup, but it looks like he's going to be in the team a bit more.
I think ultimately we needed him at the end. You know, and the ball came out to Gusto, didn't it? That's the difference. And, you know, we need him, like the United game. We were being better off having him not in the first 10 minutes, but in the last 10 minutes. So
we're like, where Gusto shoots, like, where Reece James shoots there, you're like, all right, have a go, because he can bang it. Like, yeah, Reece James can.
He just would never do that, though. He's just so much cleverer.
No, he is. But he also has the ability to put it to a corner. Like, he's got the big moment, like Michael Essien or whatever versus Arsenal. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the iconic goal moment, Reece James. Like, he's got that in him at all points, and you just want him on the pitch for as long as possible. So,
first game back for pre-season, you're never going to play him 90 minutes. But I know Maresca did play him back to back 90 minutes to finish the Premier League season last season, and played him. England played him 90 minutes as well. So, like, I think they will be this season where he'll play 90s for sure.
To be fair to Gusto, he had a good Cup World Cup, really. And, like, so he deserves minutes. Like, he deserves to be coming on for, like, cameos, and he'll get some stuff.
We got to move away from this guy. We've got to move away from him.
He's already done.
Well, this is a good example of, like,
game week
what are you expect? Like, it's 0-0. We're desperate to score, and you bring him on. Like,
he was like the key to winning the Club World Cup final in a way. Like, he was like integral.
Yeah, because it's just someone headed the ball to him. Like, I just think he was good in the final for sure. I don't think he was particularly good in the other games. I think the issue we run into with him, he's not offering enough gusto in any department, really. So bringing him on is a bit of you just get worse. Like, the team gets worse overall. I'm not saying he's the worst player. I'm just saying the team is going to get worse when he comes on. So it didn't feel like, I don't know, it just felt like a bit of a waste. Like, when he comes on, it's, oh, God, well, you know, this isn't going to help his score, is it? So, I don't know. We got to move on from him, I think, and just try and. I would have preferred it, you know, maybe bring on an attacker and just risk it a bit more.
He'll be here all season, which
look forward to watching him.
One to address in the summer, maybe.
Next summer.
Next summer.
Yeah, maybe in January.
heavy January. Chris literally packed his bag, booked his ticket. He's off.
He can follow that ball wherever that's gone.
Now Madueke's gone. You need another one. Now Madueke's gone. Right. Who else has got? Right. Who else is on the list? Right. Gusto, you're it, mate.
Yeah, the next one. Clearing these guys out. Right. There's a bit of transfer goss, and the gossip is Garnacho wants to join Chelsea, and so does Javi Simmons.
Mooney wants Chelsea.
Yeah. This is not brand new information, unfortunately. It's been shoved down everyone's throats for the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks. So we're waiting patiently for Nkunku and Jackson to leave. Do we think this will have a good outcome for us? Do you think this will definitely happen?
Yeah, I think everything's going to happen. This is obviously my dislike was the frustration with the window. By September 2nd, Nicholas Jackson and Nkunku won't be playing for us, and we'll have Xavi most likely and definitely Garnacho. So just got to wait for all the fees and stuff to get to the end so that the negotiation can be finalised, I guess.
I mean, these things will go late into the window because prices will drop. I mean, Chelsea are basically waiting for Leipzig to get scared and fear Chelsea walking away and drop their price. I mean, it's just all negotiating tactics. You know, it's just we are trying to sell players, but I think they know they're going to sell Nkunku. I think they could go for Simmons now, but they want to wait for that price to drop, and they know that the player, they're full player buying. Like, it's obvious he wants to come to Chelsea. Same with Garnacho. So they don't want to pay 50 million for Garnacho. They want to pay 35, and they don't want to pay 70 million euros for Simmons. They want to pay 50.
You know, from United's point, the United ones, it's Garnacho is so easy. You know, he's not even in their squad. Like, already said that he's not going to play for them. So they need to sell him, and he only wants to come to Chelsea. So that's obviously last day of the deadline, isn't it?
I think Jackson will go because Jackson's a lot of suitors. But I think Nkunku's a funny one because I just don't know whether they need to loan him with an obligation and get him out for they really want a permanent sale. And I don't know with Nkunku. I think a lot of players, I think Bayern will look at him, but they're probably thinking, well, we wanted him like a year ago, but now he's kind of not necessarily tainted goods, but like the fee's too high now. So they might have to do a loan of obligation for Nkunku just to get him out the door, I think. But I think Jackson, they'll sell. And, you know, we heard that, you know, Lukaku's injured for a few months now, but I'm not sure Napoli can afford that. But there's clearly a lot of suit. Like, there's more Villa talk about Jackson. So I think Jackson would definitely go for a fee, but Nkunku they may have to loan, I think.
What's the feeling on the centre backs? Do you think we need one? Do you think they'll buy one?
Well, Brady, do you want to go for the defence case?
Well, the defence is. Well, the defence is we've got a lot of defenders, not to have a pun. I mean. I'm just going to listen. This is all the defenders that, like, touch wood, or if none of them get injured again, these are the centre backs that will be fit by the end of the transfer window, from what I'm hearing. So Fofana, I mean, where's Fofana? Apparently, he was like kind of fake in the squad yesterday. He wasn't really merciful. You know, they put him on the bench just to be there, just to get him involved.
Yeah.
But
he's here in this spot a few times. He sits on the bench. Yeah, come on,
temporary cheerleader. Get your pom poms out. But it sounds like he could get minutes versus West Ham. I don't think he'll start, but I think he'd come on for a cameo, which would lead you to believe, but by, you know, game week 4 or 5, he could start. And Badiashile, they're looking at, I think, for another month. So if you look at it, in a month, we should have Fofana, Badiashile, Chalobah, Tosin, Ashimpong, and Hatto as centre-back.
Hatto's not centre-back.
But yeah, but he can play as a centre-back, right? Like, he can. Like, if we need him, right? So there's 5 centre-backs and Hatto, and James can play there. But you can argue that that's not a good enough lineup. Yeah. But I don't. You can argue that, like, that's not a good enough depth. Like, there's a different argument. Like, yeah, you can argue.
For sure. Depth was never the issue. If we'd gone into the season without Colwill getting injured, the depth is great. The depth is actually probably the best of any of the top teams. I asked you a question in the WhatsApp group today. Who would play centre back for Liverpool if they had their top 3 centre backs out like we did? If Van Dijk, Konate and Gomez were out for Liverpool, who would play centre back for them?
I don't think. Who are our top 3 centre backs?
What is the answer? Because that's what happened to us on Sunday. But what is the answer for Liverpool?
I mean, Liverpool, yeah, they'd be struggling. Anyone would be struggling, but...
Well, it isn't, like, they don't even have anyone. There's no one listed in their first team squad. So it is a very unique situation for us to come in. And if Gabriel Saliba and Kiwior were all injured for Arsenal, they would be looking into the markets
I'd argue you probably want to compare us to City than Liverpool, I'd say, just spending money-wise.
The thing is, it's not like they're out for a long time. Yeah. Like, if Fofana was... Okay, look, Colwell was out for the season, basically. If Fofana, Colwell and Chalobah are out for the season, yeah, obviously you've got to go into the market maybe twice.
Hanging your hat on Fofana where you don't believe it yourself. Right.
I don't believe in him, and I think that I need to look at them. But he is our player, and when he's fit, he is one of our best centre backs. I mean,
you could rely on him to play 50 games this season for us. That's 50 games in that left centre back spot, and then you can rotate for Fofana, Chalobah, Tosin around him. That sounds great. I'm loving that. Now the guy that you can rely on is gone. So now something needs to change.
I agree, but who comes in? Like, the thing is you know.
That's not my job. This happened with the Arsenal situation last year with the striker. It's like, well, who are you going to bring in at striker? It's like, that's not the fans' job to scout.
We're not scouts, but I think it's pretty clear.
You can see the weakness in the team, the squad right now. I don't think it's fair on the other players, to be honest.
They've got no one on their list.
No, like, I've heard the noise coming out of the club that no one's on their sort of long-term list. Yeah, but now it's time to get a new list.
And well, the thing is, I mean, I've actually really warmed to Chelsea recruitment. Like, you know, they're clearly good recruiters. They're savvy. If they haven't got a list, or that it was like we had a look at Gaihi in January, but now we're not bothered. I mean, you've got to back them. It's like
I totally understand that it's difficult to find a player. Colwill, one of the reasons Colwill is so valuable.
Also, when teams know that we're after a centre back, the price will just go up 40%. And then, you know, what are you going to do to this player? Oh, we've got a player injured, but you can come in on a one-year deal. Like, what? Who are we going to get? Like, that's what Ben Jacobs was saying. Maybe just get a short-term loan. I don't know who you're going to get, but maybe get a 32-year-old in a short-term loan. Because I don't want to buy another player on like a five-year deal.
Clog up. I think give Thiago Silva a ring, see what he's up to.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great.
Going back to Silva. He's about 50 now, isn't he?
Well, to be fair, he's not far off better than what we could get in the market, to be honest, like realistically at this point.
I agree it's worrying, but I agree with the sporting directors where you just don't want another player on a 7-year deal when they're going to have to play through their nose for it in terms of price. And Colwell might make a really good recovery and be back in January.
Well, I think Maresca's basically saying publicly that these guys aren't actually any good.
He's actually made it really clear that he isn't saying that, and it's not about the ability.
He desperately wants a new centre-back.
No, but he's saying that they can't play that. They haven't played that role yet, where Colwell and Tosin play in that centre.
Yeah, well, that's his job, though. He's the coach, isn't it?
Yeah, but he doesn't want to go into the Premier League season having to coach a starter in a new role. That's not what, you know, you've built this like incredible squad around you, the incredible first team we've got.
But it's not incredible, though, is it?
Palmer. A lot of people are excited about this team this year.
We're all excited about the first team.
Sorry.
But just the squad squad's not it.
But I think Chelsea have built an incredible squad over the last 3 years. We've got one of the best squads in world football. Squad to really be excited about. And you're starting a 19-year-old in a position he's never played before. I mean,
If Palmer got injured yesterday before the match started, who would be playing in Palmer's position?
Pedro, I guess. But I mean, Xavi Simons is the guy that's going to come in and back him, Palmer. Yeah.
Colwell's injured.
Sorry, I guess.
Suddenly there's a good player, right? So, you know, he wouldn't be complaining like that, right? So he wouldn't be like, oh, we need another 10 desperately.
Yeah, because that's the profile of player. That's the point he's making. Whereas if Gittens got injured, that would be completely different, right? Assuming we're not going to sign Neto there. That would be exactly the
or
same
Pedro.
Situation where you'd have to sign a player because, you know...
I don't think he'd say that. I think he'd just play Neto and Pedro there.
No, he would 100% say that we don't have a right-footed left winger. He said it last season, even.
He had lots of options last season.
No, he didn't. I think
the issue he's run into for me is the squad has not been built up in a very good way in defence, central defence. There's a lot of people there who are very average, sort of I'd say average to good centre backs. And what you've got is Colwell, who, fine, he's developing. I still don't think he's particularly strong, but he's developing and he might be good. He might be like really good. But he's sort of turned around and said, well, now I've got a lot of people who aren't actually at the level I need them to be at. And that's one injury. So we're not even at two injuries, because Fofana's, you know, he's on the bench, fine, but he'll be back in a couple of weeks.
No, but Colwell is the real disaster injury. That is the one out of all of them.
But you can't, you know, Caicedo's going to get injured, but the Sissoko guy looks like he could play. Lavia's there.
Let's not hope that happens. I know Sissoko's only.
He wouldn't be calling for a player in that position. My point is, he's calling for a player in that position because the players aren't up to it, in my opinion. And I think he's realised that. And he didn't want to kind of mention it, but he's had to now.
But centre-back and goalkeeper are the positions that really just play every game. That's as well the profile of, you know, wingers rotate. A lot of people have depth at wing and these other positions, whatever, DM, you know, you can have lots of players that rotate.
Do you think you'd ask for a new goalie if Sanchez got injured?
Yeah, 100%.
No, I doubt it. What do you think, Brady?
If Sanchez is out for the season, you think they play Jorgensen and Hooven?
They get Penders back, probably,
right? Exactly, they would do something. They would do something, Chris. So that's the point.
Penders is a good example.
Jorgensen would play.
Well, potentially, right. He would start, yeah, but they would still get someone else in. That's all I'm saying is to get another body in.
Now, what I'm going to say is you could bring Mamadou Sarr back from Strasbourg, but they're also very excited about him. So, again, if you buy a centre-back now, he just goes ahead of him. And they've already made that investment.
Can they get Sarr back? I don't know if they can.
I mean, they'd look pretty stupid for one if they did. I'm not sure technically if they can.
Just to clarify, that wouldn't look stupid. It's pretty obvious why they're doing that. The plan was to get rid of him and because he wouldn't play, and now Colwell's injured for the season, so that's why they're getting him back. I don't know, it looks stupid. That looks like
to be a bit of a tough
exactly what happened last season with Chalobah, where Fofana got injured. And then they recall Chalobah. Some people are like, oh, that looks really stupid. It's like, it doesn't. Chalobah wasn't going to play, and now Fofana's out for the season, so now we need Chalobah. I mean, it's not stupid. It's common sense.
It's a bit different when you've loaned them to yourself, is what I'm saying. It's not like you haven't loaned them to Palace. You've loaned them
gives you a chance to get him back. If we'd loaned him to Palace, we'd have no chance of getting Sarr back.
Yeah. I think you can get Sarr back. I think that's an option. I don't want to go into the market, personally, because other than Gehi, you can say, right, we're not scouts. I mean, they are the scouts, and they haven't got anyone on the list. And I'm sure the list was long, and they've got no one. So it's just, if they haven't got an option, I don't think it's a great idea to draw up a new list of players who they didn't want in the first place and pay a lot of money for them. It's not a good business strategy. That's probably what Todd Boehly would have done when Tuchel was manager. And look, he would go and get Koulibaly. Look how that worked out. Like, just, I'll just go and get this player and put him on like 300k a week. It's not going to work. So I think they should just, it's an unfortunate situation, but I think you've got to try and work it out in-house. And then in January, if it really is a massive issue, then maybe go into the market. That's the way I look at it.
I also don't think they're desperate to sort of win the league or anything this season. I think they're sort of, otherwise they definitely would, right? They'd be straight on it.
So after all that centre-back chat, I've got our own little version of, it is Monday night, so Monday night football, in terms of predictions for the season. So points and position predictions for Chelsea, top four in the Premier League, bottom three in the Premier League, non-Chelsea player to watch, and non-Chelsea player to flop. Go on, Craig, you love going first, don't you? What's points and predictions finish for Chelsea this season?
I'm going 75 points, and that's going to get us fourth.
Wow. That would have got you third last season.
Hey.
I would have got second, I think, wouldn't it?
Credit of season.
Wow. Oh, yeah, it would have got you second, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Chris?
I've got 70 points for Chelsea, and I think fourth.
I'm very optimistic. I've gone 77 and third.
Nice.
gone very optimistic. Right, top four, Craig. We've got one of them. Chelsea.
Arsenal top.
Oh dear.
City second. Liverpool third. And Chelsea fourth.
Chris?
Mine's similar. Arsenal to win the league.
Unbelievable.
We've got Liverpool to come second, Man City to come third, and I'll put Chelsea fourth.
I've gone Liverpool to win it again, City second, Chelsea third, I've got Arsenal fourth. I think they're going to regress this year. I've got a funny feeling. I know that's not the narrative, but I do have a feeling about it. And yesterday didn't really make me feel any worse about my predictions, to be honest.
First time they've ever beaten United for a long time, right? Old Trafford was a huge win for them.
Yeah. Bottom three, Craig.
So Burnley bottom, obviously. Yeah. Brentford go down.
I think
they've lost all their best players and their manager, who is really good. And yeah, I think they're down. And I've got Wolves to go down as the third, but I'm not sure. There could be a lot of teams. West Ham, I think, are in trouble as well. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to change it. I'm going to go West Ham. West Ham.
Hey, Potter.
Well, it won't be Potter.
Oh, West Ham are getting relegated. Amazing.
Have you sat
that'll be.
I'm going to
change the manager.
What about you, Chris?
Burnley to be bottom of the league. I think I agree about Brentford. I think they will be down there, but I haven't got them being relegated. I just think it'd be it's a bit of a cop-out, but I just think it'd be the same teams that come up from there on in. So I think Sunderland will go down. I know they won yesterday or Saturday, but I still think they'll go down.
They beat West Ham 3-0, Chris.
Yeah, I think that was... I saw the highlights, or I don't know. They do well to replicate that every week. It gets harder.
Yeah, I mean, Sunderland will be down there for sure.
And I've also gone for... I'll go for Wolves.
Oh,
I think Wolves are really not really offering anything for me.
Another team that's lost a lot. They're really good players.
Yeah, Burnley bottom for me. And then I've also gone Brentford. I think they'll overcome 18th or 19th. Yeah, I think it'll be Wolves or, another team. They're my three. Burnley, Brentford, Wolves. Obviously, I think Leeds will stay up. I think Leeds will be really strong at Elm Road. And Sunderland obviously had a really good start. And they've obviously made a lot of investment. They've shown a lot of ambition. I just think clubs like Wolves, you've lost Cunha. You can just get a bit stuck. And I think they might go down this year. Right, next one. Non-Chelsea is a bit more interesting there. Non-Chelsea player to watch. What you got, Craig?
I'm going to stick with it, even though this guy had a really poor debut. I'm going to go Florian Wirtz. I think he's really, really good. And he'll, despite having a poor first game, I think he's going to have a really good season. But I do want to say shout out to Brian Mbeumo, who I think was absolute quality for United yesterday as well. He could be a candidate also.
How are you, Chris?
Got a couple. I think Cherki, whatever his name is, for City. Obviously, he was touted to come to a lot of the clubs, but no one took a punt on him. But very, very good to watch technically. Very impressive. And then I think Kudus is another player I would... obviously, he was linked with us, but I think he's going to add a lot of quality to Tottenham's attack. I think Eze was quite similar yesterday, but not a lot of people can impress you in poor teams, but he certainly was one when West Ham came to play him. He's just oozes quality for me. Like, very hard to get off the ball, very good at dribbling. I think he'll have a really good season for Tottenham.
I also had Ryan Cherki, bit of a hazard about him. Like him, kind of that kind of Flemish, French.
Wow, what a shout that is.
I mean, he has got like similar tendencies. So he's obviously
he was at the bridge Sunday, Hazard.
Yeah, he was chilling. Nowhere near Hazard's level, I doubt we'll get to, but he's got that kind of almost mavericky kind of cavalier approach to it. if not, as he's been taken, I mean, it's, I think it's Reinders, is it? City? I think that's a really good pickup from Milan. He looked really good against Wolves. Way more advanced, I thought, really good finish. And yeah, I think people just generally just sleeping on City a little bit. I think people just forgot who they were because they had a poor season. I mean, Pep doesn't usually have two stinkers in a row, and they've made some good investments, so they might be the team to watch as well, to be honest. Right, flops. What are we having, Craig? Non-Chelsea player.
I'm going with Frimpong for Liverpool. The Trent replacement. People think he's like really good attacking, whatever. He's played right wing back for Leverkusen, and he can just slot into slot system. No pun intended. Yeah, I think he's going to struggle this year. I don't think he looks tiny. I just don't think he's cut out for a right back role in a four.
I think, well, he played very advanced, Leverkusen. He was like basically like right winger, basically like up front. So because
I mean, if they move him there, if Salah gets injured or whatever, and he plays there, he'll probably do all right. But if they play him right back, he's going to struggle.
He was right, yeah, he's kind of right wing back. Yeah. Well, it could be a good shout actually. I'll go for Jamie
non-Chelsea, mate. It might be non-Chelsea by the end of the season.
Who did I have? I had... I think Elanga. I think this is a horrible... I think he looked good in this. You've got to remember, Elanga was sold by United... he had a really good season for Forest, but Forest had this really odd way of playing where they just sort of all stand at the back. And then, you know, Elanga's a very quick player. Well, Newcastle don't really play like that.
It's perfect for them, isn't it? The way that Newcastle play Gordon and Elanga on the counter, that sounds ideal.
Yeah, but Newcastle don't play sort of defensive, sat at the back. It's not their game. I don't know. I think he won't do as well as people think he will. I think that's a backwards transfer for them, if I'm honest.
Really? I quite like that.
Yeah. Unless they change their style of play, which it doesn't look like they're going to. I don't think he'll do that well though.
My one, this is going to sound like, well, sour grapes, and actually I quite like this player, Chelsea. I'm going to go Noni Madueke.
Almost put him in as a joke.
I'm actually being serious. Like, I just think he's just a little bit of a bit too big of a move for him. He's all right on the left, but he'll constantly be played on the left. He just won't get many minutes at right wing. A lot of the ball will go to Saka. They'll be in that right channel with Saka. He'll get frustrated because he won't get the ball a lot. Even when he came on against United, he's lively, but he's the same player he was for us. He just up and down. So, not about flop, but I think he's going to struggle with Arsenal first season for me. Although Martinelli, I mean, he also looked terrible as well, to be honest. I mean, that left wing for Arsenal looks pretty weak to me. Famous last words, but yeah, I think they might have a bit of a problem over there.
Yeah, you might be right. I do think Martinelli is quite poor. Gyökeres also, he was looking not great, I'd say, but I do think he'll score goals. I just think he's just a finisher for me. He's not really got much else going on for him. And that's all they need.
Right.
Lovely. Well, we'll see how they pan out towards over the season, and obviously we'll try and revisit that. Maybe we'll do some new ones after the January transfer window.
You got the FBI tapes. Love it.
That's it. When Elanga's top goal scorer in the league.
Dig him up.
Yeah. Right. Well, look, thanks very much, guys. Next game is West Ham on Friday night under the lights at the London Stadium.
Potter's funeral, I might call it.
It could be a big scoring game for us if we play our cards right. What do you think?
I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good fixture at the moment, so they look quite weak against London, obviously. So, but it's a big game for us. We need a win. If we don't win that match, Ruska might even under a little bit of pressure. So, it'd be good to get a win.
Always. Lovely. Well, thanks very much, guys.
No worries.
No problem.
That's all we've got time for today. Regardless of the result, we will be back. For more updates on all things ESPL, you can follow us on X at HSLChelsea and Instagram at HSLChelseaRepeat. Make sure you like and comment on wherever you're listening to our podcast. And as always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening.